The Problem Gambling Foundation says no access to the pokies is a huge relief for many. But are there downsides for the charity sector? Problem gamblers are expressing relief that temptation's not in their way with their usual neighbourhood bars closed. 50% of pokie machines are in the poorest areas, and the Problem Gambling Foundation fears when pubs and neighbourhood bars are able to open again, there'll be a surge of people who can least afford it returning to play the slots. But as the machines remain silent, a wide range of community initiatives are struggling because tens of millions in funding from gaming proceeds has dried up. It's estimated 30% of community funding is paid for from problem gambling. Our guest first is the Problem Gambling Foundation Chief Executive, Paula Snowden. Good morning, Paula.
Atamari.
To what extent can you gauge what is happening with people who have problems with the pokies in particular and can't access them at the moment?
Well, what we know from what our clients are telling us is, as you said before, a great relief. We do have some report of people talking about going online, and it's important to understand what online actually means. Online includes Lotto, includes TAB, and we think that all that money stays in New Zealand. Whether you think it's a good or a bad thing, it does stay in New Zealand. Offshore, if it is happening, the regulator needs to look into it and find out, because we need to close those loopholes. But for the most part, the majority of harm in New Zealand from gambling is pokies. It's a place-based choice. It's an addictive type of gambling that you can't repeat in the online environment. And there's no research that says that people transfer their addiction from a place-based pokie machine to an online gambling option. It is the machine that is addictive, not just the gambling.
So you've had some anecdotal reports saying, I'm glad I'm away from the temptation. Have you got any other...
Well, directly from clients, actually. Directly
really?
Clients.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And have you got any other indicators, like what's happening with the problem gambling hotline, for example?
The Asian helpline, we don't have a gambling hotline ourselves, but that is run by Home Care Medical. But the Asian helpline has just gone off. It's so, so busy. Because not only is the opportunity to gamble dried up with the casinos, but also with the pokie machines, but that causes a lot of stress when your addiction is suddenly turned off. So we are providing people with a lot of counselling that is about anxiety and depression because they can't feed their addiction.
How much do problem gamblers lose each year, in inverted commas, on the pokies? Is there a figure on it?
Well, the losses on pokies in the pub and club sector alone is $939 million in the annual year 2019. That's $2.5 million a day. Of that, 60% goes into the system for various levies and duties and trust operating costs, etc., and 40% goes back in the form of community funding. So of the $939 million a day lost, 60% is consumed in the system somewhere, and only 40% goes back into community. It doesn't make any mathematical sense to fund communities that way.
Are you seeing this as an opportunity to push for some kind of changes? Because there's lots and lots of community groups and charities who depend on these funds. We're going to hear more about that in a moment and how they're being impacted. But are you seeing the current situation as an opportunity to push for some changes?
Absolutely. We think that if all of these pokie machines are in hospitality venues, hospitality can run without pokie machines. So you can go back to having hospitality when we're out at the right level of lockdown and run hospitality venues. You don't have to open pokie machines. If the government decided to support the current community groups and all sports, and I'll come back to sports, just the community groups for 6 months while we take stock of how to fund them and who should be funded, it's about $60 million, which is a drop in the bucket relative to the investment that's being made at the moment in the COVID-19 support packages for business and for wages. So it's about $60 million. That would keep some of those community groups going until they could review the program, and the government could have some transparency. Lotto is essentially funded gambling that has centrally funded decision-making on which groups get funded and which groups don't. So we could follow that model. Sports, the big unions themselves are reviewing how they're going to keep working in this losing the international play market and the national opportunities to drive revenue. You could look at sports differently, but it's $60 million in sports for 6 months would give everybody exactly what they're getting now while we review it, get transparency, and stop this dependence on problem gamblers and poor people funding national interests, which is what's happening now. If we need a flying doctor trust, we should fund it. If we need these services for mental health and addictions in the community, we should fund them. Public good.
The problem is, though, isn't it, that that puts you at the behest of governments, three-year terms, and, I mean, whether it's popular or not, this has for many years provided a funding stream to many organisations and charities. Is there an alternative that isn't just a transfer from the state, which is going to be under extreme financial duress for many years to come?
Yeah. Well, Lotto is not subject to the Lotto. The grants that Lotto makes out of its profits is not subject to government interference. So I think that we could avoid that model. I think it's a risk, but it could be avoided. But the thing about, are we funding the right things? I'm going to give you one example. The Canterbury West Coast Air Rescue Trust, which is also called Air Rescue and Community Development Trust, has its pokie machines in the poor areas of Canterbury. Are those people losing money in gambling machines to fund an air rescue service? If we need an air rescue service, we should fund it.
Okay, cool.
They also fund the Horsfall Tennis Club. So we've got no transparency. The people on these trusts make decisions that they think they need to do for their areas, but no one's asking where's the money coming from. And we need to be clear that we've got to stop taking the money from the people who can least afford to lose it.
Thank you, Paula Snowden, Chief Executive of the Problem Gambling Foundation. It's 23 minutes to 10 on 9 to noon. Well, as we said, the current impact on or lack of access to pokies is absolutely impacting on the stream, the income stream for a lot of organisations that depend on this. The Pub Charity Limited Chief Executive is Martin Cheer. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Catherine.
Just what is the hole in the budgets for many organisations at the moment?
Well, we've got zero revenue and zero distributions, and that's probably likely to last, we project, 3 to 4 months. So really, we've lost a third of the year in funding. That's around a $120 million impact. Don't quite agree with Paula's maths there, but so it's a significant hole, and that's showing up in media where charities are saying we are really struggling.
What are the projections from now then? At what point, I mean, you're waiting for hospitality centres to open again, and I suppose there may be, there will be the move towards social distancing whenever that happens, whatever level that it happens. What do you project the impact to be over the course of the year, or is that just too difficult to do?
No, look, we've been doing nothing but thinking about this really since the announcement about what will a reintegration of business activity look like. I mean, the economy just can't sustain a kind of level four. HOSPO doesn't operate under level three, basically from our perspective. So level two will require social distancing. So we're looking at our entire model, training staff around ensuring that the gaming room and players are managed in a way to ensure public health measures are adhered to. We think there'll be a gradual recovery. There'll be reluctance at first for people to return to public venues. And we did see some decline prior to the lockdown as people were clearly changing their behaviours. So we think it'll be a slow climb out for the rest of the year, and really for the whole country, you know, normal's a fair way away.
I'm just looking at comments from Nelson's Deputy Mayor, Judine Edgar, who I think said something like 20 years of experience in the sector, saying what the lockdown's done is revealed weaknesses in the model. Wherever you stand on whether gambling should be funding charities and sports, wherever you stand on that, has it revealed weaknesses in the model? Is it an opportunity to review how these things are done?
But look, I think the modern economy relies on a very fast turnover of money, and I think you'll find that this crisis has exposed everybody's business model. And yet, this is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-hundred-year event. So it's not surprising that we are seeing cracks that were there but would only be exposed under this extreme duress. We've never had a situation where the economy's actually been shut down. And, you know, this is not really, I don't think the government, I disagree with James Shaw, I don't think the government's looking at a recovery. It's looking at trying to stop the economy falling off the cliff altogether and returning to the days of soup kitchens. And, you know, one of the Treasury forecasts was 25% unemployment. And this is we're on life support here in all aspects of the economy. And we're no different. And we'll recover alongside the other small businesses. And so will the charities. Things will be done smarter. More efficiently, and unfortunately some won't survive. That's just the nature of the trauma that's being experienced. We can't isolate people completely, but we're doing our best to adjust, and life under level two will be very different to normal. But we think there is a trading model, and we anticipate that somewhere in May we're going to get back into operation, a slow recovery with additional measures, hygiene standards, social distancing, spacing between people, cleaning regimes, personal protective equipment. They'll all be a fact of life for some time to come.
All right, thank you. Pub Charity Limited Chief Executive Martin Cheer.